What is up, everybody? Mike here from the Wild Wormhole. This is another episode of Sloppy Lab Work, where one of us takes a Keyforge deck and attempts to analyze it for a little bit of bonus content to hold you over until the next real episode. This week, I've got a bit of a twist. I've got this brand new Keyforge deck that I haven't opened yet, and I'm going to attempt to break it down right now after opening it, which I think is probably where the sloppy part of the lab work is going to happen in this particular bonus episode. So let's go ahead and just open this thing. It's not ever been opened before. This is the deck. I'm not going to look at it yet. I'm just going to look at the cards one by one so that we can go through this and hopefully make it a little more interesting. The deck name is Hydra Prey Front Philosopher. I have no idea where that first word comes from, but it is a Mars Logos Sanctum deck. I'm excited about Mars. I always like Mars decks. I think they're the most fun, but most other people disagree with me. So let's see if I can actually open this. This is impossible. Okay. We're going to do it anyway. So here we go. The first card is Interdimensional Graft. Gives you an amber when you play it, and it says, play, if an opponent forges a key on their next turn, they must give you the remaining amber. So this is a card that I think can be good against decks that are just like raking in the amber. Some decks have like, you know, like a bunch of fertility chants, or they just have shadows and they're taking all your amber, and they often end up with more than six. So when they do forge, they'll have some left over. I like this card. I don't think it's like the best thing ever. I do think that it will be really cool if I open up one of the spiders in this deck, or the amber spider, I think is what it's called. I could be wrong about that. But all the amber goes onto that spider, and then once they finally kill the spider, they get all that amber. They often have more than six in their pool. So that's the first card. Second card here, Lab Work. The non-sloppy version just gives you an amber and play archive a card. Fantastic card. Simple. I would love to see a key abduction deck. That's my favorite kind of deck if you haven't heard me talk about it yet, but it works really well with archiving cards to allow you to get that giant hand to be able to forge a key for free. Next card, we've got Positron Bolt. A good bit of some sort of AoE removal. It is a card that gives you an amber, and it says play, deal 3 damage to a flank creature, deal 2 damage to its neighbor, deal 1 damage to the second creature's other neighbor. So it is 3 damage, 2 damage, and then 1 damage, which can go a long way, especially if you're playing against the deck with a bunch of elusive creatures, a bunch of those annoying little shadows guys like Urchin or Nexus, or, you know, any of those annoying dudes that just steal your stuff. Next, we've got Wild Wormhole. This is already off to a great start. This is obviously one of my favorite cards in the game, and it's just so fun. It gives you an amber, so that's great, and then when you play it, you get to play the top card of your deck. So we'll see if there are any cards in here that would be like particularly crazy with. Next up, we've got Library of Babel. Very simple artifact, just lets you draw a card as an action when you are in house Logos. Great card. Nothing too exciting there. Then we have this Spectral Tunneler. It's an item, gives you an amber action. Choose a creature for the remainder of the turn. That creature is considered a flank creature and gains redraw a card. So I'm not sure what in this deck would make the... Oh, you know what? Actually, that is pretty cool. So already we have this sort of mini combo with Spectral Tunneler and Positron Bolt. So the Positron Bolt deals 3 damage to a flank creature, and the Spectral Tunneler can turn something into a flank creature. So you can sort of choose which creature you want to deal the 3 damage to, and then, you know, move the damage from there. And the redraw card is pretty interesting if you don't have anything to really, you know, benefit from the flank sort of mechanic off of. So that's cool. Next card is the Howling Pit. And this card is another artifact, which gives you an amber location. During their draw steps, each player refills their hand to one additional card. So lots of card draw in this deck so far. I think that's my first rare. It is. Not that rares really matter in this game, unless it's some crazy like Time Traveler or, you know, Horseman of Pestilence, which gives you all the other horsemen, which aren't necessarily power cards, although I would disagree with I think Time Traveler is definitely a powerful card, and the horsemen are too, but most of the rares aren't really that special. So next up we've got Dexter, and Dexter is a 3-power creature, play captures an amber, and when he's destroyed you put him on top of your deck. I'm not the biggest fan of Dexter, but he's fine. He can sometimes clog up the top of your deck, which can get annoying. Then we've got Dr. Escoterra. He has 4 power. He has a play ability, gain 1 amber for each forged key your opponent has. I think this card's kind of meh. Not the best, not the worst. Then we have Mother. Mother is fantastic. 5 power, and you draw 1 additional card during your draw step. So between Mother, Library of Babel, and the Howling Pit, we can be drawing a lot of cards with this deck, which is really fun. Then we have the Titan mechanic, the trusty Titan mechanic that always tends to screw me over. It has 6 power, so fairly powerful, and when he's on a flank, each key costs -1. So the -1 also benefits your opponent, but if there are ways to maybe burst some amber and then figure out a way to get rid of Titan mechanic or put something to his right or left on your before your opponent can forge, you can find ways to make it sort of useful for you and not useful for them. Now we are on to a couple upgrades. We've got, or at least one upgrade, Experimental Therapy. And Experimental Therapy is an upgrade that says this creature belongs to all houses. Love this card, really cool. Play, stun, and exhaust this creature. So you can use it on offense to allow your the creatures in the house that you haven't chose, you can allow them to be used during any of your turns. But the play, stun, and exhaust is kind of a downside. So it's going to take a while for them to be able to actually do anything. And playing this on an opponent's creature can be pretty effective. It also can be pretty effective if I do get that key abduction, which my fingers are crossed, because key abduction lets you bring all of your Mars creatures back to your hand. And when you put this on a creature, they're considered to also be a Mars creature. So looks like we're on to those Mars cards. The first one is Ammonia Clouds. Play, deal 3 to each creature. That is some decent AoE. If there are some bigger creatures in this deck, I like this better because I can keep those creatures alive while killing all the little tiny annoying ones. So let's see if we can get any of those. We have Irradiated Amber, which gives you an amber when you play it, and play if your opponent has 6 or more amber, deal 3 damage to each enemy creature. So it is better than Ammonia Clouds in that it only hits your opponent's creatures. Your opponent does have to have a bunch of amber, but sometimes they do, and it gives you an amber when you play it, which is pretty cool. So next up we have Mating Season, which is a card that starts with the letter M, which means that we missed K and there is no key abduction in this deck, so I am sad. But Mating Season is really fun. It gives you an amber when you play it, and it says play, shuffle each Mars creature into its owner's deck. Each player gains an amber for each creature shuffled into their deck this way. So if there's a bunch of Mars creatures in this, could be a fun thing to do. There's a lot of card draw, so we can be filtering through our deck pretty fast. That's kind of cool. We've got Orbital Bombardment. 1 amber when you play it, and play, reveal any number of Mars cards from your hand. For each revealed this way, deal 2 damage to a creature. You may choose a different creature each time. So you got a handful of Mars creatures, you can end up doing a ton of damage with that. So pretty useful, and the fact that you get to split that damage however you want is awesome. Then we've got Phosphorus Stars, another good bit of AoE. Stun each non-Mars creature, gain 2 chains. The 2 chains is kind of a bummer, but this deck can draw a lot, so I have a feeling that won't hurt me quite as much as it would another deck potentially. We've got Squawker, which gives you an amber when you play it, and it says ready a Mars creature or stun a non-Mars creature. So really, really flexible card. I really like it. Can allow you to use a Mars creature twice, use a Mars creature that you just played, or stun an opponent's creature to, you know, slow them down a bit. I've got another Squawker. I like that. We've got Mother Gun. Mother Gun is really cool. It is an artifact that sits out there, and as an action, you can reveal any number of Mars cards from your hand and deal damage to a creature equal to the number of Mars cards revealed this way. So, similarly to the Orbital Bombardment, you rack up a hand of Mars cards, and then you get to use that to blow something up. But it's an artifact, so you can use it anytime you call House Mars, which is really cool. The fact that we have, 8 non-creature Mars cards already makes a few of these a little awkward, like the Mother Gun, the Orbital Bombardment, the Mating Season. So those cards get definitely worse when I only have like 4 max Mars creatures. And here's the first one, Blipip. It is a 2-power creature, really powerful. Reap, the next Mars creature you play this turn enters play ready. So already I can see a little bit of a combo with Squawker. You can play Blipip and then play Squawker to ready it and then reap with it. And then the next Mars creature comes into play ready also. Takes a little bit of setup, and there aren't that many Mars creatures in this deck, so we'll see how useful that's actually going to be, but just a little combo that has just, popped up. Then we've got the Mind Warper. 2-power. It is an elusive creature, so he's going to be pretty annoying for your opponent to deal with. Action. Choose an enemy creature. It captures one amber from its own side. So I think that guy's a really fun creature. It's a very, very flavorful effect. You're sort of Mind Warper, sort of like, brainwashing your opponent's creatures to steal their own amber, which sounds really fun. The two Mars creatures that I do have are both 2-power, and I'm noticing a lot of cards in here that, deal 2 or 3 damage to my whole board. So that's not great. Next one is this Yixili Marauder, another 2-power Mars creature. But he gets +1 power for each amber on it, and when you play it, you capture 1 amber for each friendly ready Mars creature. In this deck, I have a feeling this guy's not going to be very good. I only have, 2 other Mars creatures so far, and the fact, the odds of them being alive and ready when I actually play this guy are pretty low. Last Mars card is Yixilo Bolter, slightly higher power at 3, and when you fight or reap, you deal 2 damage to a creature, and if that damage destroys the creature, you purge it instead. Powerful card, but again, this is not exactly the setup of Mars creatures that I was going for. These little tiny, kind of effect-heavy, but not really play-effect-heavy creatures. I think that if you have these low-power creatures, it's important that they do something the turn that they come into play, because it's just so easy for your opponent to deal with them. All right, so that, I believe, is the rest of the Mars cards, and we're going to move on to the Sanctum now. So, first Sanctum card is Blinding Light. This card is really cool. Gives you an amber when you play it, and when you play, choose a house, stun each creature of that house. Really, really great card against a deck that is not playing any of the same houses as you. It's slightly worse when they are, and you have to stun some of your own creatures, but usually, if you're going to use it, you're going to use it to your benefit. So I think it's a really, really solid way to slow your opponent down. We got a second Blinding Light, so that's pretty cool. We've got Terms of Redress. This card is also sort of a stall. You slow your opponent down a bit. It gives you an amber and says play, choose a friendly creature to capture 2 amber. So that is, a decent amount of capture. I'm looking through to see if there are any creatures that I would actually want to capture amber onto. I have this Mind Warper who is elusive, so it's a little hard for him to be removed from the board. You can put it on the Titan mechanic, maybe, and then, he's got 6 power, and, you're going to need to capture some amber so your opponent doesn't make use of that guy anyway. And then if they do kill him, it costs them 1 more to forge. I don't know, just a thought. So, next card is this Gorm of Om. It's an artifact with an Omni ability. Sacrifice it, destroy an artifact. Simple, effective. Some artifacts are incredibly powerful, so it is good to see a way to interact with that. Next up, we've got Duma the Martyr. Duma the Martyr is a really cool card. It is a 3-power human. It's not a knight, which is interesting. I've seen a couple epic quest decks that have her, and she looks like she should be a knight to me, so I'm very curious why she's not a knight. But she has an ability that is, when she's destroyed, you fully heal each other friendly creature and draw 2 cards. So more card draw is cool. and hopefully we find some creatures that we would want to heal. So we've got, wow, just opened this deck, and we've got Horsemen of Death. So we're going to see the other three Horsemen here pretty soon. So Horsemen of Death, 5 power. Play, return each Horseman creature from your discard pile to your hand. So if you've played all your other Horsemen and they're in your discard pile, you know, play this guy and then bring them all back and play them all again. Really, really cool. Let me see if there's any other sort of synergies that can allow me to get him back. There was that card Labwork where I could archive him and save him for later when I like if I draw him first so that he doesn't die first. It makes it more useful when I can actually play him and then, you know, have all the other ones. But I think that's pretty much it so far for cards that synergize with it. And we've got Horseman of Famine. And Horseman of Famine is 5 power. Play, fight, reap. Destroy the least powerful creature. Pretty cool. I don't think you want to play him on an empty board or on a board where he's the least powerful creature because I think he has to destroy himself, which doesn't sound fun, so keep that in mind. And Horseman of Pestilence. Horseman of Pestilence, 5 power again. Play, fight, reap. Deal 1 damage to each non-horseman creature. Not bad. We've got Horseman of War, which is the last horseman in here. 5 power. Play for the remainder of the turn. Each friendly creature can be used as if they were in the active house, but can only fight. There aren't that many creatures that I want to fight with other than the other horsemen so far. Maybe Doom of the Martyr if I want to, like, you know, martyr her to get draw cards, I guess. Other than that, I've got some pretty weak creatures. Maybe Titan Mechanic at 6. Maybe Dexter, because he just goes on top of my deck and I can, you know, deal 3 damage with him. We've got this Sanctum Guardian next, who I would want to fight with. He has 6 power and 1 armor and taunt. Fight, reap, swap Sanctum Guardian with another friendly creature in your battle line. So he can swap around onto a flank, off of a flank, in between your creatures that you want to, you know, be taunted in between. So really cool card right there. We've got Gatekeeper. Gatekeeper is really cool. 5 power, 1 armor. Play, if your opponent has 7 or more amber, capture all but 5 of it. Pretty powerful. If your opponent's about to forge, you can play this and then, you know, they're not. Unless you have the Titan Mechanic out and you don't want to do that. All right, and then we've got this upgrade, Protect of the Weak. Great card. Gives you 1 amber when you play it, and this creature gains +1 armor and gains taunt. Playing this on one of your horsemen, playing it on Gatekeeper. He doesn't have taunt yet, and having 2 armor is pretty good. Maybe even playing it on, like, Doom of the Martyr to, you know, force your opponent to attack into her and, you know, draw you those 2 cards and fully heal your other guys. Could be pretty good. And that is it. The rest is this decklist card. So let's break this down real quick. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7... 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 creatures. So fairly light on creatures. I would say between average and light. Not that bad. I'm going to go and count the cards that give you amber when you play them. I didn't see that many, but sometimes it's deceptive. So here's 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. So 15 is pretty good. That's 3 away from winning the game if you are not messed with by your opponent, which you certainly will be. I think that this is a pretty interesting deck. I think the Mars cards could be better. The upgrades, I'm sorry, not the upgrades, but the events or the actions are pretty good. There's a lot of control with, like, Phosphorus Stars, Orbital Bombardment, Irradiated Amber, Ammonia Clouds, a lot of mass removal, which is pretty cool. It actually sort of synergizes really well with Doom of the Martyr because it deals 3 damage to her, and then she dies, and then it heals the rest of your creature. So I like that synergy. I think that is pretty cool. Let's see if there's anything else worth mentioning here before we wrap this up. Yeah, that's pretty much what I have to say about this deck. I am gonna have to play it to really see how it works, which is, you know, the beauty of this game is that you don't really know how, you know, a deck's gonna play or how your deck works until you play it, which is kind of the point. So I hope you guys enjoyed that, and we'll see you on the next episode of Sloppy Lab Work.